Off the Ball, GAA.
And I always, you love young players coming through because it just gives everyone a kind of a spring in their step, and you see the future and you see there's hope there. When you have your kind of guys 29, 30, 31, it's kind of a last chance saloon, the last dance. We might win the All-Ireland this year, we have winners. When it's young players coming through, you see another 10 years of success.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Formula One Pod on Off the Ball. Brought to you by KitKat. Hit pause, have a break, have a KitKat.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the F1 Pod on Off the Ball. And as always, the F1 Pod on Off the Ball is brought to you by KitKat, bringing breaks to the fastest sport in the world. And we are incredibly excited this week to be joined by British F4 champion, current FIA Formula 3 driver with Hi-Tech as part of the Red Bull Junior team, Phil McLaughlin. How are you today?
Great, thanks. Thanks for having me. It's definitely a special moment. You've had quite a few people on it and it's nice to be a part of it too.
Oh yeah, thank you very much. And thank you for being in Dublin, being back in Ireland. I mean, you were in Melbourne back in March for your first F3 race. You're kind of jetting all across the world now. Do you have a lot of time to come home?
Yeah, well, during the year it's quite busy, so I try enjoy my time while I'm home, but it doesn't happen often. Obviously, there's been a bit of a break now since the next race, but I'm having a bit of off time at home, which is quite nice. Still quite busy on and off and training and stuff, but yeah, it's nice to be at home for a while.
That's kind of what I wanted to ask you first of all about. You're saying, you know, you're busy with your training and everything. I mean, taking the step up from a couple of years ago being in karting to winning British Formula 4 to now being in Formula 3, what's that journey looked like for you to be now with the Red Bull Junior team?
It's quite crazy how quickly it's flown. I feel like I was in a go-kart yesterday, but it just flies past very quickly, and it's obviously going well. My first year in cars, it went amazingly. Obviously winning the championship and then got thrown straight into F3, which is quite a special thing. You know, there's not many drivers in the world get the chance to do that, and Red Bull's given me the opportunity to show how good I am, and it's been a good start to the year so far. I'm just trying to build on that and keep improving.
Yeah, because you had your first sprint race and feature race in Melbourne and you finished higher than you qualified. Can you see the improvements that you're making, and can you see where you're going to need to improve again?
Yeah, definitely. Improvement's the most important thing. That's how you see yourself and to go in the right direction. And for me, it's definitely going the right way. You always have things to focus on, and it's only the beginning, and I have so much things to work on. And yeah, we analyse it after every race. You know, being in the midfield in the first weekend was a strong point. You know, jumping from F4s, it's quite a big step. And I was really happy with how I did. It could have went worse, it could have went better. That's the way it goes. And yeah, for me, I'm focused on a Monaco next, and trying to be more prepared for that is a tough challenge, but it's going to be exciting to see how I do in a street circuit.
I mean, speaking of Monaco, there's some incredible circuits coming up on the F3 calendar. The likes of, as Monaco, as you mentioned, will this be your first time at a street circuit?
I competed once before in a street circuit in Macau, in Hong Kong. I did that in F4. It was the first time they brought F4 there, and that was a surreal experience. Like, how close we get to the walls is pretty insane. And, you know, clipping them every once in a while, and you're just thinking, oh my God, my car could be falling apart. But it's definitely an experience that I enjoyed, and I would love to go back someday. And heading into Monaco, it'll be quite similar, just a quicker car, but it'll be similar traits to drive, and it's going to be something that'll be very difficult as well. I haven't got much experience in street circuits, but it'll be good to see how I do.
And is there much simulator work when you're in an F3 setting? Is that something that you can do to prepare for these races?
Yeah, definitely. That's the main area I'm working on at the minute, and I'm doing. Because I'm not racing a lot at the moment, I have a lot of simulator work back and forward with Red Bull and Hi-Tech, and obviously at home as well. And yeah, mainly that's the areas I've been doing at the minute, training and just simulator work. And it's very good because it's the closest you can get to the real car without spending a lot of money, and, you know, trying to get the time in the car is very difficult, and the closest thing you can get, simulator racing, and that's what I do to try feel as close as I can to the car.
When you look at the season ahead, is there a race that you're particularly looking forward to? Is there one that you've raced at before, for example, in lower categories?
The thing with me, I enjoy every track I drive, and I just love racing, and I'm excited for all the tracks because I basically haven't been to most of them. And yeah, I think Monaco was obviously a cool one. It's a, it'll be a cool experience. And then places like Belgium and Spa, it's going to be a, quite a good experience. I've never been there. And, you know, going through a Rouge for the first time will be quite crazy. And I'm just really excited. I just love racing so much. And to go to new tracks and travel the world during the year is quite special.
That's something I wanted to touch on. Did you always know that you wanted to be a racing driver? Did you come from a very big motorsports family?
My dad did it, and that's where it kind of come from. We weren't really a big background. He did it for fun. You know, he did some races in the north and south of Ireland, and then he gave me a chance to do it. And when I was younger, we just did it for a hobby, and racing around Ireland, started getting better, moving through the steps, and started going through the UK and around Europe. And it was kind of always just fun. I loved racing so much. And then it got to a point where I realized, you know, I was winning races and I was starting to get pretty good at it. And I realized I wanted to do this for a living. I always looked up to the racing drivers in F1 when I was younger. And, you know, I always would love to be one of them. And then when it became more of a reality every day and every year I started getting better, it kind of looked in the future like, yeah, I definitely want to be one of them guys someday.
Did you have a particular driver or a few drivers who you would have looked up to and said, I like what they're doing, I want to drive like they drive?
When I was younger, I loved Sebastian Vettel.
Good answer, favourite driver.
That's the guy I loved. And I always thought he was a different character to the other guys. And, you know, at the time he was with Red Bull, a very dominant driver. I was a young age, but, you know, I still have small memories of watching the TV. And, you know, I had a room at the time with his wallpaper of him, my bed sheets were Red Bull. You know, I was quite a big fan at the time, and yeah, I just loved him so much where I obviously wanted to be him. And now, you know, you look at Max Verstappen, and, you know, it's a great talent, and, you know, you look up to drivers who are really good and you try to take things that they have. And I just love watching racing and I love doing it as well. And, you know, I try to take as much as I can to improve as a driver also.
Because you look at drivers like Vettel and Verstappen, they have such a knowledge of the sport, of each individual circuit, a knowledge of the history. Is that something that you yourself kind of admire and want to learn the kind of the technical stuff that they would excel at?
Sebastian was a very technical guy. Max was more into the simulator work and works more on just doing a lot of laps. And I'd say I'm more on the Max side. I'm trying to improve the way Sebastian did. You know, it's more to racing. You have to analyse a lot more than driving, and there's a lot of homework behind it and stuff. And that's the improvements I need to try to focus on. And I've learnt it from him. And the older I get, the more I understand. And, you know, it's definitely a difficult part of racing, but it's something that I've been focusing on.
So kind of to look at your as career sounds like a crazy word to say when you're only 18 years old, but in your kind of your championship winning season in British F4, moving on now into being with Hi-Tech, how long have you been associated with Red Bull? Like, when did they come and say, you're someone that we're looking at, we think we see potential in you and we want to kind of bring you forth into the next stage in your career?
It all started from we had a meeting with him in 2023. I was in the Dubai Grand Prix. I had a race there that weekend. And, you know, it started from then. We had a good meeting with him, and, you know, we didn't join at the time, but we were knowing that if we keep performing and doing well, that they might pick us up. And yeah, later that following year, I was doing really good in racing. Then I got the chance to do a shootout with him, and obviously Helmut Marko was there. And at the time, you know, he was the boss. And that's where I got picked up and got the opportunity to join the team. Straight away, they thought I was a good driver and signed me. And that's when I got the chance to get to F4. And it started, you know, my single-seater career. And without them, it would have been very difficult to get here. And it's pursued me to get to FIA F3 now. And definitely, it's been a couple of years with them now, and I'm trying to keep improving and keep doing a good job. And obviously the sport's quite difficult, so you have to keep performing, and to keep moving up in the ladder you have to keep showing results. And at the moment, yeah, it's going to be a tough year, but I'm focusing on doing a good job.
So last year for your F4 championship, you won, is it five races over the course of that season? I think you won with two races to go. And I saw on your Instagram incredible footage of the moment that you'd won. And I was particularly looking at your helmet. It was a really lovely design. Are you interested in the kind of artistic side of that? Do you, you know, you have, we were chatting to Romain Grosjean this week on the F1 pod, and we were asking him about his helmet designs, and he had hundreds behind him, and he really liked putting effort into that. Is that something that you like?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, when you look at a driver and you see their helmet, it stands for them. And for me, my helmets are just all about me. Obviously, Red Bull's on it too, but, you know, I have my family crest, the Irish flag, and I try make it as much about me as I can. And, you know, I got some inspiration from Seb with the flag down the middle of the helmet, and it's something that stands out as well. And, you know, I try make it as much as I can like me. And yeah, I really enjoy making helmet designs. I get a bit of help from my dad, and my helmet designer obviously sorted out a bit more, but it's something that I love. You know, I've was brought up in go-karting, didn't have a helmet design until I was about 13 or 14, because my dad always told me to look after your helmet now that you have, and someday we'll get you a nice helmet. And yeah, it meant a lot when I got my first helmet design, and we've kept it quite similar, just adding on the Red Bull now and stuff. But it's something that I've always loved, and it's something that means a lot to me as well.
You strike me as someone who's really enjoying the journey that you're on. I mean, you look at you've a YouTube account, you're detailing stuff, you have TikTok accounts that you're kind of detailing the race weekend and what it's like going around Melbourne, you're at concerts and everything. Is it important to have that kind of downtime, and as well as all the hard work that you're doing, enjoying the hard work?
Yeah, definitely. I would never change my life for anything. I would only be doing it because I love it, and everything I do in my life is because I enjoy doing it. And you have to have a bit of downtime, you know, you can't be serious all the time, and racing's such a high aspect and level sport that you need to be on it, and to have downtime and relax is very important too, to reset. And yeah, as you see, my YouTube and TikTok and stuff shows a bit behind the scenes, and people don't always see that, and it's trying to show people that there's more behind than just racing. And yeah, I enjoy everything I do, and I try to do as much as I can also as well, because I have a very busy schedule, and it's trying to slot in things too.
And as well, I think people aren't used to seeing an Irish driver at this kind of level. Obviously, we have Alex Dunn, who's competing in F2 again. But before you two lads, it was a really long time since there's been an Irish presence on the grid. It's exciting the wrong word to use to describe, but you're a representative, really, of Ireland right now. It must be pretty, pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. It's exciting to see. You know, there wasn't many of us on the past. There's been a few, but not much. And yeah, to see me and Alex doing well, it's a nice thing. And obviously in other sports too, like golf, and Rory winning the Masters, and Shane Lowry as well doing well. It was nice to see them 2-1-2 at one point. It's like to show for such a small country, we have such high athlete sportsmen. And yeah, it's trying to show the country that we can do more, and just because we're small doesn't mean we can expand.
I was about to ask you about the golf, because I saw a lot of it on your Instagram. Did you watch the whole of the Sunday of the Masters?
Yeah, I watched all of every day of it. I enjoy it. It's something that it's completely different to racing, and I play a lot just to relax the mind. And it obviously shows me some stuff as well that I need to focus on, because it's a very mental sport. And yeah, when I seen McIlroy and Lowry 1-2 at that point, I wanted them to stop. But it was an enjoyable weekend to watch. Rory doing it again was cool, and yeah, it's something that I love to do as well.
Have you been golfing it? Would Hollywood be near to where you've grown up?
Yeah, I've played a few times. It's close to where I live, and it's a good course. And yeah, obviously to be there where Rory's born and growing up is cool as well.
Because I think when you look at, you mentioned it yourself, the kind of mental aspect of the sport. We've talked about Rory McIlroy before in the studio. We were actually speaking last week to a few sports psychologists about the pressure of taking penalties for the Irish national team. And everything, every sports psychologist kind of says the same thing. It's all about having self-confidence and believing in yourself. And you strike me as a very confident young man in that Red Bull are believing in you and you're believing in yourself. Do you feel like you have to work very hard at that, or is it you've just been working so hard for so long and you're kind of finally getting the chance to prove, okay, I'm in F3, I can, you know, I can show them what I'm made of?
Yeah, definitely. I think the mind's a very powerful thing. I think it controls everything in your life and how you perform. And it shows, yeah, taking penalties is a very pressure moment, and, you know, leading the Masters is a very high pressure moment, and to try and improve that and get better, you know, in your mind is very important to me, because for sure it helps me in my career. I've got better the older I've got, and for me, it helps during racing, and racing such a high pressure thing as well, and you have to be on it a lot, and you know, if your mind's telling you wrong things, it can just go very badly. But it's teaching yourself to be confident, believe in yourself, and having people behind you too that support you it's very important too. And I think the mind is definitely a very strong, powerful thing, and it probably has an aspect in where you finish too in races.
Can you speak about the support that you have? Do you have your family with you at Melbourne? Was that like a nice occasion to have? Or
My dad was just with me, and my mum and family were at home. My siblings still work and they go to school, and my mum has to look after them, so it's quite difficult for them to go to races, but my dad always comes to them, and it's nice to have him with me. You need support, and to be on your own, it'd be very difficult too. Someone to lean on and talk to is very nice to have.
Because F1 is such any kind of motor racing is a very interesting sport, because it's you yourself in the car, but you've such a huge team behind you, like the mechanics, people who are working in the car, the people in the sims, and obviously with Red Bull, it's a huge environment. Do you the level of support that you're getting from Red Bull, do you see it already being beneficial?
Yeah, definitely. Red Bull's such a good company to be with. You know, they're very big. They're just outside of racing too. You know, they're an energy drink. You know, they're a big brand to be a part of, and the support I get from them is amazing. And I definitely wouldn't be here without them. And I'm grateful to have them with me, because they help me a lot. We have a lot of sim work in Milton Keynes, and there's a lot of things that they help me with. And it's obviously, like you said, it's a difficult sport, and you're on your own in the car in the race, and there's many things that you could be thinking about. And you know, to have all these people supporting you and trying to point you in the right direction is a good place to be.
So I guess speaking of that, we obviously there's a bit of a gap now between races, but the next one is Monaco, and then you have a whole European swing coming up where they're coming thick and fast. What are your goals, I suppose, for this year? What would be a successful first year in Formula 3 for you?
What I like to see in me is self-improvement. I don't try to say I want to win. You know, obviously I want to win. It's an important thing to win, but it's difficult. You have to be realistic. And for me, I need to keep improving. And I just want to see myself going in the right direction. We have a big gap now to Monaco. We've had since Melbourne. So I've had time to, you know, work on myself, train, work on the sim. And then obviously after Monaco, we'll have a big load of races coming up, and that's the difficult part. You know, you'll be low on energy, it'll be hard to recover. You know, you might have a good weekend, you might have a bad weekend, and it's trying to bounce back from that. And it's going to be a difficult part of the year, but for me, I just want me to keep improving. And when you see yourself improving, you know, you get more confident in yourself and you feel like you can do better and better. But if you don't, it's quite a hard place to be in. And I want to win, but over time I will. It's just how well I can improve.
And what would your, I suppose, day-to-day training look like in this kind of long gap between Melbourne and Monaco? Is it mainly sim? Is it in the gym? What do you kind of find yourself doing each day?
It's gym work, simulator work. You know, it's based on what you need to improve as a driver. For me, I obviously have my physique I need to improve, and the neck, you know, the core. There's different things that I need improved on. You know, I have a strong side of my body, I have a weak side. You know, it depends what needs improved on. So I have a trainer who adjusts that for me. And then similar work, I can train the tracks that I'm going to next. And, you know, I can do stuff for fun on it as well. You know, you can have downtime and race with your friends. And then over, you know, you can have the weekend, you can spend time off racing. You know, you can see your friends from home, you know, play a bit of golf or spend time with the family. And it's good to have time like that. And it resets you for the races coming up, because we have such a big break. You have to be active, but you know, it's a long way away, so you just don't want to be thinking about the next race. I'm just trying to focus on me at this moment.
I saw Red Bull post a couple of days ago a video of those neck training workouts that you guys do. It almost looks like some sort of torture device. Is it something that you would have done kind of during the F4 kind of campaign, or is this kind of a sign of it ratcheting up, that now you have access to all these different kind of implements?
Yeah, so training wise, yeah, the neck, you always prepare for the next year. So I'll always be preparing for F2, and then when you're in F2, you prepare for F1.
Okay, that's interesting.
You try to train the neck for above. It's obviously hard, because the best way to train your body is in the car. Mm-hmm. It's hard to train the neck. You know, holding that force in the car is a lot harder than, you know, doing it with a band. But we have a neck harness that I train with at home, and try and I do training sessions every day, and you know I have a different program for every day what to do, and I do neck about 2 or 3 times a week, and yeah, doing exercises with that. It's about a 45-minute session, and it's enjoyable. I actually like training the neck. You know, it's nice to feel a strong part of your body. You know, our neck is very strong as drivers, and it's trying to keep it there. And but obviously, when you get back in the car, it gets even better. But when you come out again, it's trying to keep it there. You know, keeping it at the point it was, and obviously preparing for the future too is a thing that's important, because it's not about training for now. You know, you're always preparing for the future, and you're always looking towards the future. Not as drivers, you just look at the moment, but you have people behind the scenes looking for the future and trying to prepare you for that. And yeah, the neck's a very important part of the body, because in the car, you know, if you're hanging along the headrest, it's difficult to stay focused, and it's trying to keep your body as straight and firm as possible, and to be, you know, as much as you're driving, you know, you have to think. And if you can have the body doing it naturally, and you know, you can think about what you're doing too, it's a very, you know, it's an advantage that you can hold.
And did you feel that kind of difference when you moved from F4 into F3? Like, obviously you'd be preparing for it, so you're ready, you know, you've been practicing for this for a long time, but was there still a moment when you first sat in an F3 car that you went, okay, this is markedly different than I'm used to?
Yeah, I was surprised. The speed was crazy how different it was.
Really? Okay.
But physically, I was always ready. You know, when I jumped in, I thought it would have been a lot worse, but I was, you know, I felt pretty good. I wasn't unfit. I felt like I could do a race straight away. But it's just getting used to the speed of it. You know, there's a lot more aero. The brake pedal's a lot harder. Yeah, obviously on the neck, it's definitely harder to do on the biceps. You know, it's a bit more physically demanding, and getting used to the speed is something that I had to get used to quickly. Mm-hmm. And obviously in Melbourne, I finally got used to it. You know, I had a decent first round, and at the start, you know, it was difficult for me. It was a struggle seeing me, you know, not where I'm used to being. Mm. And it's trying to believe that the process is going to bring you to where you belong. And yeah, I focused on, you know, improving my strength in the leg. And, you know, it was a big difference trying to get used to the brake pedal. And at the start, I struggled to get to the peak pressure. But now it's very easy. You know, it's mental how quickly you can adjust. And yeah, from F4, it's like pretty easy from F3.
Yeah, because I feel like you're in the right place for these kind of improvements. Red Bull has historically brought through so many drivers into the likes, I was about to say AlphaTauri, which probably shows my age, but likes of Racing Bulls, and then into the Red Bull senior team. Do you have for yourself a kind of even a time frame where you're saying, by the time I'm 21, 22 years old, I want to be in Formula One?
Yeah, you know, you always have a goal. And the goal for me is to be a future F1 World Champion. And you know, it'd be nice to be there in 2 years' time. You know, it'd be nice to be there whenever, but it's when you're ready. You know, I'm going to be there when I'm ready, and at the day I will be, I know that I'll perform at my best. And, you know, you can't rush the future. It just depends how well you're doing in the moment, and it's all based on performance. So I'm just focusing on now in the moment and trying to work as hard as I can to get there.
Have you had time in the break between Melbourne and Monaco to watch some of the F1 races? Do you still find yourself watching those?
Yeah, you know, I love F1. The new rules is difficult to get used to. It's a change. But I actually haven't been I missed it at Suzuka because I didn't want to get up that early. but I did watch, obviously I was in Melbourne, I watched that Grand Prix, and I can't remember the other one, but I remember
China.
I watched China too, and yeah, I enjoy watching it. It's something that I want to be in, and it's something that I love. I try to watch as much motorsport as I can, like bikes and, you know, cars, but it's difficult. I have a busy schedule, and it's hard to remember also when they're on. And yeah. Sports is something I love. You know, I watch all type of sports.
Because I was, the most recent Grand Prix I was at was Barcelona last year, and you're trying to make sure that the F2 is on that at the same time as the F1, and you're trying to get there to see that, and also, you know, make your way to the F1 and try and get around the whole circuit. So I feel like even trying to watch an F1 race when you're racing an F3 weekend, it must be a bit difficult. There mustn't even be time sometimes.
Yeah, you know, at this point now, you know, you don't even think about it. Because you're there, you're like, you're focusing on you. Obviously, after your race on the Sunday, you can watch the Grand Prix because you have nothing else to do, so you remember quite easily. But because you're so busy, it's hard to remember, but I try to keep up. But at the moment, I'm just really focused on me, and because I'm in the F1 grid now, it's cool. But it's like, you don't even think you're there. You're just still trying to, you know, focus on racing and trying to keep up with the others, the other two categories is quite difficult.
I'm sure that's probably the right attitude to have, to be kind of focused and locked into your own weekend, as opposed to wondering how did Verstappen get on in qualifying.
Yeah, well, you can get quite distracted, you know. You could think, you know, you've made it already, you know, because you're in the F1 Grand Prix weekend, you know, you could think, oh, it's all great now, but, you know, I'm still nowhere near where I want to be, and I'm trying to keep my head in the right direction, you know, one goal, and that's where I want to get to, and I'm trying to stay focused, and it's quite hard, you know, there's lots of distractions in racing, but it's trying to keep your head in the right space.
Exactly. Well, listen, we wish you the best of luck for the coming year in Formula 3. When's Monaco again, actually?
First week of June.
First week in June. Yeah. So you have a busy summer coming up, but it's a really positive time for Irish motorsports. And I'm sure we'll be chatting to you again at some point down the line. So best of luck.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
The Formula 1 pod on Off the Ball. Brought to you by KitKat. Hit pause, have a break, have a Kit Kat.